ओम असतो मा सद्गमय, तमसो मा ज्योतिर्गमय, मृत्योर्मा अमृतंगमय। ओम शांति शांति शांति। लीडर्स फ्रॉम द अनरियल टू द रियल, फ्रॉम डार्कनेस टू लाइट एंड फ्रॉम डेथ टू इमॉर्टैलिटी, ओम पीस पीस पीस। डियर श्री भट्टाचार्य और दीपिका एंड श्री नीरज वर ऑन द डायस, many known faces, Amita is there, Lataj is there. So it is it's really a wonderful occasion to be here, because rarely we get a chance to speak in a forum like this, where the listeners are from schools and colleges, where you can daringly give the truths without fear of being reprimanded or whatever you might say. Because, you know, this is purely an association of unaided schools with no government grant tags, etc. So we can freely exchange. Of course, Mr. Bhattacharya spoke so many things about me also. Of course, I only remember what Swami Ranganathan used to say. He would even detest the idea of putting revered and all. He would say, Swami is enough. What else do you need more than that? So, you know, that way all these embellishments do not add up to anything. Now, one thing I would like to say, let us try to really connect to each other. Now, one thing, you know, I have not come here as a religious preacher. So, although I am in a ochre robes and you are all working, most of you probably taking salaries, which is definitely necessary for you, let there not be a disconnect. Don't listen to it as if you are listening to a religious preacher. We have come to really exchange. So dare to question me, stop me, interrupt me. Let us have a free exchange. And let us find out whether we really get anywhere near the goal, or whether our understanding becomes clearer, whether what we talk makes sense, whether the topic that is chosen is really relevant for all of us. You know, we are also teachers in one sense. You are also teachers. We teach normally to a different audience. You normally teach to school children, people who are much, much younger to you, whereas we address every segment, even people much older than us. So, you know, in one sense, all of us are teachers, all of us are students, all of us are learning constantly. So, you know, let us have a very wonderfully free exchange of ideas, whereby, you know, something useful, fruitful emerges out of these discussions. That's the basic premise with which I would like to begin this. Now, the topic is really, 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 I mean, extraordinary, because looking inwards to grow outwards. And I'm also aware of the time constraints, because now I would like to tell a very small story to enliven the atmosphere. In one such meeting where a large number of people had gathered, a speaker was going on and on and on endlessly. And then suddenly he saw someone just walking, you know, very animatedly, carrying a very thick, stout stick. And he was pacing up and down by the side of the platform. So the speaker became a little nervous and asked, can you tell me what is it that you want? He said, no, sir, you go on, you go on. Then after 2-3 times, then he became really nervous. He said that unless you tell me the purpose, I'm not going to continue further. He said, I am only looking for the person who called you here so that I can break his head. You are not to be blamed. So I am not going to put Mr. Bhattacharya to any difficulty. So you can all rest assured that I will finish well within time. Now the point is, you know, it's a very beautiful concept. Looking inwards to grow outwards. I tell you, there's a very famous sloka in the Kathopanishad. It says, Paranchikani Vatrinat Swayambhu Tasmat Parang Pashyati Nantaratma Kaschid Dhiraha Pratyagatmana Maikshak Avritta Chakshuhu Amrutatva Michcha. It says, God has created the senses in such a way, deliberately, that they always look outwards, go outwards. But a few dhiras, the truly enlightened ones, they alone know the art, they look inwards and see the Pratyekatman, the Atman, because they want Amritatva, immortality. So as you understand, what is the basic quality needed if you really want to look inwards? The one who looks inward is the one who seeks immortality, Amritatva. So, you know, all these concepts, looking, all the words in the phrase that has been formed as the heading for the topic for the session today, looking inwards, growth, outwards, each one can occupy one session, probably the whole 2 days we could have spent on that. So let us try to, you know, jumble together some of these and try to get some meaning out of all that. Why is it that we should look inwards? Now the idea of Amritatva, immortality, also can be explained in ever so many words. From the highest pursuit, even to the just beginning, even looking for a better emoluments, better salary, better everything can come under this idea of Amritatva. Yesterday also we were talking in a conference, science versus spirituality. So you all know how beautifully related all these are. What is the meaning of the word Veda? From the root vid, to know. Every knowledge comes under Vedas. It's not only the knowledge of the highest or the infinite or the supreme. All knowledge, sciences, your astronomy, geography, anything you call, every knowledge comes under this definition of Vedas. So, you know, that means, you know, immortality can have a very, very wide meaning. It can mean anything. So, you know, that is why Swami Vivekananda always talks about practical Vedanta, where he says, you know, Vedanta should be so meaningful, so practical. Whatever you do in life should be related to that so that you can do it better. If you can put in practical language the practical Vedanta itself, he says, whatever you do should be done in such a way. Practical Vedanta is that Vedanta which helps you to do anything that you do better, so that you get a better result out of it. So a teacher will be a better teacher if he or she has some awareness of this practical Vedanta. So you know, this looking inwards to go outward, to grow outwards, what is it that really means? And why should we look inwards at all? So again, you know, we can take the help of Swami Vivekananda and also help of our own scriptures, our own ancient wisdom. Incidentally, Vedanta also, according to Swami Vivekananda, does not connate or does not really define any narrow sect. He was not even saying that it belongs to Hinduism. Vedanta is a very universal principle which can be applied to any religious thought or any religious belief that way. He has explained it very beautifully in some of his lectures on universal religion. Now, Swamiji says, as our Bhattacharya initially told you, he gives a wonderful definition of education. He says, education is a manifestation of perfection already in man. I don't think anywhere in the world there has been a better definition of education. Because, you know, he says, what really is education? Education should make you perfect. It should help you manifest that fullest glory, fullest potential, the fullest capacities in you. When they are made to manifest, that is real education. So, you know, that means, you know, it gives you a vast, immense scope and possibilities. Anything you can achieve using education. So, he says, what we call education or learning is not something which is got from outside, which the teacher implants or pours into the student or the learner. Rather, it is a process of self-discovery. When you say you learn, you discover what that is deep within you. So he says, all knowledge is inherent in you. Nothing need be learned from outside in that sense. So when he says knowledge, he takes it up to the level of highest perfection. So what then is the role of a teacher? He says the role of a teacher is a facilitator. Now he has given 2-3 very powerful examples. And also, you know, if we talk little logically, probably we'll also come to the same conclusion. He says, you see a huge banyan tree. What is the origin of that? It's a seed which is probably tinier than a mustard seed. From that, such a huge banyan tree has grown. So, the banyan tree which evolved was involved in that seed. So, the manure, the other things, sunlight, water, etc. that you gave are all only the catalysts or facilitators that help this small banyan seed manifest and grow into an extraordinary banyan tree. So, he says, now he says by argument, if you say no, it is only from the external things like water, sunlight, etc., then you keep heaps of food somewhere, allow water and sunlight, etc. Will that grow into a tree or anything? Nothing comes out of it. It only actually degenerates and gives a foul smell. So, unless this seed, if it is not involved in that, this banyan tree, it will not come out. Similarly, he says, inherently, all knowledge is within man. The teacher, the institution, other facilities, etc. only help the student manifest. Now, I see a great logic in this because for all her brilliance, when Amita teaches a class of 50 students, if the learning depends upon her, all the students should learn the same way. Then how do you see difference in the level of absorption or understanding? So this gives a strong emphasis or credence to the Swamiji's idea that it is in you. So the some students take advantage of the facility of the guidance that is given by the teacher, the facilitator, they grow, they develop. So, you know, what this gives rise to, if this idea, because, you know, he says, this gives you a tremendous sense of strength and hope for every student. You know, when you say all knowledge is inherent, under certain given circumstances, certain things manifest, certain things develop. You know, quite often if you keep a plant or a seedling in a particular place, in a particular environment, it grows in a particular way. Similarly, if the student or if every learner, if every personality is a repository inwardly of infinite knowledge, that means given the ambience, given the circumstances, each person manifests it in a beautiful way. So, you know, a student, if he doesn't do well in science, there is no need for him to feel despair or completely lost. So, what he has to do is to find out what is his inherent strength, where he will really manifest and grow. So, you know, this places the entire gamut, entire scheme of learning on a different platform, different footing, whereby every student gets a tremendous enthusiasm, interest, energy. He or she tries to adopt, tries to accumulate, tries to learn, and then manifests according to the area of strength or area. So, when you say perfection, under that, you know, under the umbrella of perfection, everything is included. A person may be good in science, in arts, and in another technical education. He may not be a good student at all. He may go and set up a shop and do very well. He may become a great sports star. So, you see, that means what? The scope is infinite. So, you know, the whole process of learning, the teacher-student relationship becomes entirely different. So, that is the beauty of Swamiji's idea. He says, education is not the amount of information that is thrust into your brain that remains undigested and runs riot all your life. It is actually man-making, character-building ideas that are really education. He says, if information is equivalent to education, then libraries should be the greatest sages and encyclopedias the greatest saints. So, and it is not just information. So, you know, the teacher also now, once you take this idea, then that puts the teacher on a different scale. He feels that, he or she feels that it's possible the student can be taught that way. Now, of course, this is, although direct linked to the idea of the topic that is given, still, you know, we should go and really attend to what is given as the central topic of the idea, that looking inwards to grow outwards. Now, people are serving in different institutions. in different capacities, different emoluments, different facilities. So many things are happening. Now, what is it a teacher or any person? See, actually, this is not only for teacher, for any person in any profession or in any domain of life also, these values are very useful. The idea of looking inwards to grow outwardly. Because, you know, we often start our career, start our work somewhere, we are doing something. How does it really ensure our growth? Now, that brings us to the idea, what exactly is growth? What would a teacher or a principal or someone serving an institution, what he or she would really consider as growth? Does it mean that you get your promotions quickly, you become a teacher to head teacher to principal, and what else? And also, you know, emoluments, different schools, different institutions pay differently? Or does it mean growth outside the school? Does it mean growth within the family, growth within the circle of students, growth within the circle of other teachers and principals? So, you know, this growth has a very wide and vast meaning. So you can also attend to it from ever so many ideas or ever so many angles. So, you know, ultimately, you can, that is why I'm saying this link to that idea of Swamiji also. Growth ultimately should make you feel perfect, should make you feel happy, should make you feel whole, integral, contented in what you are doing. That is growth. Otherwise, you know, however much your school might pay you, someone else might be getting more. You may not be deriving the highest satisfaction from teaching in your school. Particularly, you know, the teaching profession, actually, you know, there are some inherent difficulties because quite often, you know, you have to keep on teaching the same subject, same syllabus for years. There's not much of variety. Only the audience keeps changing. So, you know, people run out of ideas. It becomes very monotonous, very challenging, very difficult. Unless you have a lot of other extracurricular activities, you participate in so many other things, you don't feel that way. So, this growth means that would give you a complete sense of satisfaction, where you derive the maximum satisfaction from what you are doing that makes you feel full, happy, peaceful, contented. For that, you should seek inwardly. That's what it says. Unless you learn to seek your satisfaction, unless you learn to turn your gaze inwardly, you can never ensure your outward growth. Now we know, according to our own understanding of life and its dimensions, the purpose, the goal, etc. So the looking inward and looking outward can also have different stages or different interpretations or different ideas of understanding. Supposing, you know, you have the highest idea of life, then, you know, you become like the person who spoke perhaps yesterday, the gentleman from Madurai. He was well educated, he had a very good job, but he completely looked inward and took a wholly different idea about life itself. And today he has grown, he is what he is. Why? He had education, he has a good job. I was told that he was about to go to Switzerland and somewhere on a foreign assignment. Just at that time, he went to that temple outside Madurai, and that completely changed his vision. So instead of looking outwardly to a very prosperous and really alluring Switzerland, he looked inward, and then, you know, he completely changed his life. So, you know, there are people who have changed themselves and they have changed others also. See, a couple of days ago, I was in Visakhapatnam. A deputy commissioner of income tax, he was one of the persons who addressed the students. There was a gathering of about 17,000 students for Swami Vivekananda's 150th birth anniversary, a big function in the Visakhapatnam beach. This gentleman, he got up and he said, "You see, I failed 4 times in my class 10. 4 times. I gave up studies. I was loitering. I was doing some menial job or something. Then I met one person who became my mentor. Somehow, I happened to read a small book of Swami Vivekananda. One sentence, all power is within you. You can achieve anything you want. This one sentence completely changed my life." Then my mentor told me, "Why have you stopped studying? No, I have failed 4 times. Doesn't matter. You can do it." Then he did his school final, plus two, graduation, everything by postal. And then suddenly he started appearing for civil service. 3 times he failed. He had given up. He went to his mentor. He said, why do you give up? You have one more chance. You will clear it. He went, cleared it with good marks. He became an IRS officer. Today he's a deputy commissioner of income tax. I can send him for next year for your function if you don't believe me. Now what I say is, you see, this is the teacher. A teacher who has himself looked inwards, who had not sought any outside glory. He has really learned to look inwards and he is able to make people look outwards and grow. See, when you say looking outwards, not just only for yourself. You look inwards, you make people look outwards and grow. That's also part of that. But I am not saying that everyone should give up career aspirations or not earn or do well. Do well. Always, the more and more you expand your horizon, the more and more you expand your personality, try to make it more and more inclusive. That is where real growth lies. As long as you narrow down your aspirations, as long as you make yourself constricted, no growth is possible. So, when you say you are looking inward, what is this looking inwards? As I said, it is in the Katha Upanishad. As I said, in another definition of Swami Vivekananda, that would also give you a better understanding of what is this looking inward. He gave a very beautiful definition of human personality itself. He said, each soul is potentially divine. The goal is to manifest this divinity. And he gave several prescriptions and finally said, and attain freedom. And this is the goal of life. Freedom. So when you look inwards really, what you will get is freedom. So he says, let us not understand Swami Vivekananda even in a religious sense. This divine and all that, people may not be readily able to accept and all that, you keep it. But what he says, when he says each soul is potentially divine, he says you are a person endowed with infinite possibilities. Divinity is equivalent to infinity. You have huge possibility, huge potentiality. See, how is it, even amongst you, don't you see that? You are also a principal. Another person also is a principal. Both of you have more or less similar degrees. How that person is excelling in everything. Apart from being a principal, how she is able to take up several other responsibilities. It is because just a hint of that inner potential, that inner divinity, the inner supreme power that is within that person. Once you get a hint of that, that is what sets you moving. That's what sets a higher and higher goal for you. So constantly, that's what somewhere he says, teach yourself, teach everyone around you the supreme power of the human soul. He says, power will come, purity will come, glory will come. Everything that will good and excellent will come to you when this sleeping soul is aroused to self-conscious activity. Somehow or other, Swamiji was a very strong believer, and this was his constant refrain, constant mantra. Always think that you are endowed with extraordinary power, extraordinary capacity, extraordinary dimension. Never think that you are small, you are limited. How could, amongst the army of monkeys were present, how Hanuman was chosen? Somebody said, what you have to tell Hanuman is to make him understand that you can do it, and he does it. He crosses the ocean by a single jump. We need not verify whether such and such person was there, what of his date of birth. No, that is not the idea. Try to understand the spirit. That is the idea of Indian history. Indian history is not mere facts and figures, buildings and this and that. Our idea is history is understood in terms of ideas, in terms of inspiration, in terms of lessons. So when you learn that, when you look at that, what does it give? What does Hanuman teach you? You do not say, how can a monkey jump 100 kilometers? No. Then that is a poor understanding of Ramayana. It gives you an idea that once you recognize you are capable of something extraordinary, you tend to do that. You attempt that. How people would succeed unless you don't attempt at all. Swamiji says somewhere, what is the history of the world? It is nothing but the history of a few people who had faith in themselves. So, intrinsically, if you think that all of us have the same body, eyes, ears, etc., but then how is it that some people really excel? How some people do the impossible? So many lakhs of children go out with a cricket bat. Does everyone become a Tendulkar? What is it? I can tell you there are thousands of kids far more talented than Tendulkar. The recognition, the idea, the one-pointedness. That is what Swamiji, when he says, man-making, character-building education, he says, that is it. The idea that I will really stand up and be counted. I will have such a character, such purpose, such one-pointedness. I am ready to excel. I am trying to work out. I will do it. So similarly, the teacher also, when she understands that, first of all, I am endowed with tremendous powers, tremendous capacities. That is my real nature. That is my basic nature. I have this capacity in me. I can become a great teacher. Then, you know, that brings a different dimension to the teacher. And also when you look inward, what happens, you know, you understand from this definition of Swamiji, once you understand that you are endowed with infinite potential, you are extraordinary, you can never say that the other person is ordinary or a fool or an idiot. That brings a tremendous sense of respect from you towards each and every one of your students, your fellow teachers, your co-workers, everyone else. That completely changes your vision of the world itself. The moment you understand that you are extraordinary, that is what this is looking inward means. When you look inwards, when you try to understand that avrita chachuku amritattvam ichan, when you understand that I am endowed with this supreme power that changes your world vision, then you have nothing but growth, 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 growth to infinity. Because you know, every action of yours becomes totally different. See, the moment you know, today when you go to school, you start thinking, when am I going to get the next installment of DA, you are gone. But when you go with the idea, I am empowered. I am endowed with something extraordinary. I am going because I have been given this unique power, unique opportunity, unique capacity to share, to awaken in every student that supreme potential in that student. You go with a jump, you go with a tremendous enthusiasm in your spring, your steps to the school, and every day you look forward to going to school. Can you do that? Every day when you go to school, when you start, every day you'll start with tremendous enthusiasm. That is a sign of growth, not otherwise. If you feel, oh, somehow I have to go, otherwise this is the maximum number of leave I'm allowed, casual, medical, earned leave, then loss of pay. No. Every day, see, now we know, the moment you start enjoying your profession, that is growth. Every day, see, I did not become a monk from day one. I had worked outside. People had to drive us out from our office for no extra pay, no extra emoluments. I said, when I am in this desk, nobody can tell me tomorrow, you didn't finish your job yesterday and you left. No. My paper, nobody would be able to put a finger and say, here you have made a mistake. That was our pride. We did not work for extra emoluments. The long hours, the Darwan used to throw us out of the office at the end of the day because we were not leaving. Why? Because you know, you have learned there is something else to the job than pay packet and perquisites and facilities and promotions. Otherwise, you know, why I'm saying, you know, see, we should learn from people, we should learn from outside. See, Ben, what is this looking inward? Why today the biggest industries, brothers having tens and thousands of crores are fighting legal battles? Money has not given them the satisfaction, the completeness. Whereas this man has given up everything. He is distributing food to others, keeping nothing for himself. He is extremely happy and contented. Which is better? Having thousands of crores and fighting a legal battle, trying to evade taxes, evade CBI net, or being like this, go open anywhere, you don't need any security, everywhere you are welcome. Which is better? So choice is ours. So that is looking inwards. First of all, as Swamiji again and again says, when you look inwards, this idea, there should be clearly in you that looking inward also there are several dimensions. The first maybe even at a very basic level of looking inward, you understand that yes, I have taken this profession. Whatever it is, whatever be the background. Now let us wipe our slate clean and from this day have a different idea. Many might have been forced into it. Many wouldn't have got any other job. Many would have come because the huge prospects of private tuition. Some would have certainly come because of the love of the profession. Maybe there are 3 generation teachers. Ever so many are there. But you see, the first thing, you know, the first step probably towards growing outward by looking inward, is, you know, again and again, you know, you get up every day at every available opportunity, remind yourself, see, I am a teacher, maybe whatever may be I'm here, but I'm here to really establish my credentials as a teacher. What is it that would make me an enormously successful teacher, a sought-after teacher? What can I do towards that? That is looking inwards, trying to find out what would give me that kind of an extraordinary sense of feeling, of participation, achievement. Now you start with that. Slowly as you... So, you know, in that, you know, there are other hiccups, difficulties. Now, you know, then question of comparison. Who is a better teacher? Who gets the best teacher award? Who is the top teacher in the school? Who is more popular? Maybe you start with that initially, maybe in that game. But slowly, as you start looking more and more inwards, you understand there are higher and higher dimensions to teaching itself, the profession of teaching itself, much more than that, to your own life as an individual. Because, you know, ultimately, if you really learn to look inward, you will not only grow teacher as a teacher, you will grow as a human being, as a personality. And that would help you in your family, in your social circumstances, in your private life. Wherever you go, you will be an outstanding personality. Because, you know, it's not enough if you are a very successful teacher and you are completely a misfit in the family or you are hated by your friends and others. What is the point? So, you know, when you grow inwards, when you look inwards, what would really bring you growth is not only your growth as a wonderfully successful teacher, that would also, you know, really place you on a platform whereby wherever you go, your very ambience, your very presence, amongst you also there are, I don't want to name them. Everyone likes to be in their company. Why? The positive vibe, the vibration, the way they conduct themselves. That is where real growth lies. So, you know, when you do that, you slowly learn there is a higher and higher dimension to teaching, being a successful teacher, doing well. Not only that, you know, one more dimension that would really make you grow. When you look inward, you start also looking at the students. It's not only the relationship just with the class, inside the class. You will never be a teacher, successful teacher, if you stop at that. You have to transcend the borders or the boundaries of the classroom and go beyond that. A teacher who can really link up to students that way, that is what would make her a great teacher. So I will tell you an incident which happened in some other country, very revealing for teachers. Probably it was either in UK and America, where the teacher-student ratio is, you know, is very low. A teacher was teaching in a class. A boy who had recently enrolled into that school, with all her efforts, she found that this boy was absolutely unresponsive. He was not getting anywhere. She tried every trick, everything possible. She found that she couldn't make any dent on that boy after all. So, you know, in those countries, you know, of course, here also many, there, you know, they take it very seriously. Somehow she accessed his records in the previous school. And when she saw those papers, her eyes were open. He was in class 4 here. When he was a topper in the previous school till he was in class 2. When he was in class 2, his mother was diagnosed as suffering from cancer. She was going in and out of the hospital and his results started dipping. By the time he was in the middle of class 3, she died, leaving him motherless. And he did very poorly in that school, so much so he had to take a transfer certificate and come here. So very soon, then she was thinking how to really do something for this boy. Very soon the teacher's day came and they all bring presents. So she was quietly watching what this boy is doing. He had brought a small packet, a packet of crumpled newspaper, and gave it to the teacher. And very deliberately, very carefully, she opened it in front of the entire class. There was a pair of old bangles and a half-used scent bottle. she put on those bangles and displayed it before the entire class. And by the time she could see from a corner of her eyes, tears were welling up in the boy's eyes. Then she rubbed a little of that scent in front of the entire class and said, "So wonderful it is." And she knew that she has done the trick. By the time she reached the teacher's common room, she saw somebody had inserted a piece of paper to the door frame. She picked it up and it read, "Ma'am, you smelt like my mom today," the boy had written. From that day, the boy's results started really going up, 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 up. And when he left, when he was towards the end of the school, when the school, the final day, the function came, he was asked to kind of lead the celebrations and he was given a lead role. And then, you know, all the parents, etc., were watching. And he really praised his teacher and all that, and he left. And he continued to keep contact with his teacher. Then he became a doctor, somebody. Then for his marriage, he sent his invitation. And there he had written, "Madam, you really changed my life by your attitude, the way you treated me." But even as she was reading, she was shedding tears. "My son, it is you who changed my attitude. It is you who opened my eyes. I would have imagined that you are a dead, useless fellow. But then, you know, if I had not really gone back to find out what exactly was your difficulty," and that is what changed her. See, this is looking inwards. Not only looking inwards into her, looking inwards into every person we are in touch with. Of course, you know, in the given ambience, in the given circumstances, the schedule, the tight routine and all that, I know it is difficult, but there lies the secret. How can he find out? How can you find out that extra minute, extra time? You know, that is where the real secret lies. What is the difference between a Tendulkar and an ordinary batsman? Tendulkar has an extra split second to face the ball, and that is why he is so successful. So if he can find that little extra time, that is what would make your life great, extraordinary. So you know what it is, that is why you know this looking inwards is first of all slowly understanding day by day, the higher and higher dimension of your own personality, never getting cowed down, never getting bogged down in anything that is demeaning, anything that is disturbing, anything that is narrowing down your vision or understanding, but always you know reminding yourself, come what may. Yes, failures will be there, there will be difficulty, there will be problems, people may unnecessarily do something to you. Never mind all that. Always keep that central idea. I am here to manifest my extraordinary capacity, and that I will do as a teacher. This is looking inward. That would bring a new joy, new approach in whatever you do as a teacher. Otherwise, if you only look for the external results, merely what is happening, how successfully the function was done, how many people praised me, and how many papers my photo appeared, one day or other we are going to face defeat. But if you do that, whether there is a photo or not, whether people appreciate you or not, inwardly you will be bubbling with joy and satisfaction. Every day when you go back, you know, today I was in contact with so many living beings. Teacher's profession can be the extraordinary of professions if you take it the right way. No profession can be anywhere near. That is why, you know, teachers were given the highest place in the society. According to the Hindus, teachers were not ordinary teachers. The equivalent is Guru. Guru was the helm of the society. He would teach. Not only that, he won't even take fees. The students used to stay in his home. He would look upon them, treat them as equal to their own children. In fact, they would treat them better because they have come from other homes and they would teach them. So, you know, Guru, you have that extraordinary position that you must remember. Again and again, remind yourself, whenever anything negative happens, whenever you receive blows, whenever you face disappointment, again and again, remind yourself, I have come to this world to achieve, express my extraordinary nature through this ambience, through this opening given to me called being a teacher. Being a teacher is only incidental. The real goal of life is to express that extraordinary dimension of your life and be free, complete freedom. That would make you free from all shackles. And that is what really means looking inwards. So when you do that, again and again, you'll feel that extraordinary help is coming from all directions. The more and more you learn to open out. That's why, you know, some of the principles which Swami Vivekananda had talked about are universal, true for all times, for all races. For example, he says, you know, sacrifice and service, renunciation and service are the fundamental values for the Indian society. I would say for the entire world, because they are universal. He says, if you strengthen yourself on these two areas, you will find that your life is extraordinary. Now, even in the example that we quoted, what is it essentially? The teacher did the sacrifice of giving up her time and did the service of really finding out, fishing out the records of the student from the earlier school. The result was an extraordinary manifestation. Wherever you go, that will be the result. You will find that extraordinary things happening the moment you incorporate these two ideas. And for a teacher, the idea of sacrifice and service are absolutely essential. Without that, you can never be a good teacher. Sacrifice and service is really what it means looking inwards, because the moment you look inwards, you understand that you're infinite. You understand that you are extraordinary. You can never have any narrow-mindedness. You can never have any jealousy, hatred. All those things would go away completely the moment you understand that you are extraordinary. And this would come, what is the aid? What is the process? One of the potent weapons, very well-tested methods, is to incorporate these two principles, namely the idea of sacrifice and service in your life. You see, in how many ways you can do it. You teach in your class. You do the sacrifice of taking out a little time and do the service of teaching some of the underprivileged students or lesser intelligent students. You become a god to them. You manifest the divinity within you. And that person doesn't look upon you as a mere teacher who teaches physics, chemistry, mathematics. He knows this person has come to change my life. He also learns how to express his extraordinary nature. We can go on, endless. I can give you any number of examples from real life. Now I should leave the audience for question and answer. But I would say that, you know, looking inwards is basically, again and again, to go back to yourself. Sit back sometime. Again, you can understand what exactly is life. What exactly am I here to do in this world? I may be a teacher, a doctor, a clerk, or an accountant, or anything I may be. Essentially, Swamiji says, it is to manifest your divinity, namely, manifest your extraordinary nature. So whatever you might do, but that would give you ultimately freedom. Freedom from all sorrow, suffering, pain, loss of other things. You'll be full. You'll be integral. You'll be complete. You'll feel so happy and satisfied. Whatever you might do, you might be in elementary school or high school or college or wherever you may be, whether the most prestigious or the most ordinary institution, it all depends upon you. You can make it. That is what this looking inwards to grow outward means. Thank you.